Mrs. Mullen, thank you very much for being our guest tonight. We certainly appreciate it.
It's always a privilege to be on your program.
How long have you been in this fight, Mr. Mullins?
How long, what?
Have you been in this fight?
I'm 65 years.
So I thought it'd be a good place to start. You telling us how you got started, I don't think it has to do with your friendship with a very distinguished man that they put in holding, I guess.
Well, yeah, he was kind of a life of a child. Because he opposed war, entering into World War II. And of course, the government policy and the Zionist policy was that we should have this war, and the only purpose of this war was to establish a group for the state of Israel, which he succeeded in doing in 1948.
And tell my audience who this man was.
This was the poet Ezra Pound.
Ezra Pound.
The greatest writer of the American Republic.
How did you become a friend of his?
Well, I was in Washington going to an art school, and my other teachers had convinced me him, you know, he was a great man that meant no interest, and he was there in this lonely hellhole, and she called the hellhole, by the way.
Now, where was that in?
And San Elizabeth Hospital in Washington, D.C., the federal institution for the insane. So she was then declared insane. He was declared incompetent, and then, he kind of reflects on how he's been himself. He said, I will stand by everything that I ever said publicly. And so they declared him incompetent.
Now, was this during the speaking files?
No, this is part of World War II.
Okay.
So you had an enormous worldwide movement to get World War II going. You got an enormous worldwide movement in 7 months to get World War III going. President George Bush announced on June 2nd, 2002, that he graduated class at West Point, and he was about to launch crazy strikes against 60 or 80 nations around the world. And the American press were part of the story. I saw it in Tokyo, and I saw it in Japan, a big city in Japan. It was all the little kinds of stories that the American press refused to carry.
I never heard that.
No, you wouldn't hear it if you read any American newspaper.
So Ezra Pound was placed in this institution, and that's where he stayed the rest of his life.
He was intended never to get out of it, but I met a friend to see him, and this man is a congressman. And the congressman went on the floor of Congress and asked Congress, the general Congress, why is the government holding this man? And the government had no answer. So they released him.
Well, that's a story I want to
know. Two men after 13 and a half years of imprisonment of their child.
Did he teach you a lot
of American justice?
Did he teach you a lot of him? I said, did he teach you concerning what he knew was going on in the world?
He did indeed. He researched in 8 languages in Europe for 30 years. He turned over the book all that worked to me. I was 25 years old, and I had a flying start. People couldn't understand how a 25-year-old could know so much, but all I knew was what Ezra knew before I did.
What has inspired you to go get the command to do it?
Well, one of my teachers suggested that I go and visit this poor, lonely man who was a political prisoner and had practically no visitors, and I was very shy about going to see him because I thought, the world's most famous writer, what would he talk to me about? We excited to talk to him. And I began to visit him every day, and we spent 3 hours a day for 3 years together. That's why I got my education.
Oh, wow. That's a tremendous story.
Well, it's a tremendous boon. I don't think people have ever had an education like this. In the last battle, wow, I did have to spend 3 hours a day to teach him his people.
Yes, indeed. Well, your whole life has changed because you went to see a lonely man.
It was indeed. And I had no political or personal motivation to see him except that my teacher said, you were going to be a fan. I liked seeing him, so basically, I was never the same again.
Then, how many books did you open yourself?
16.
You opened 15
pounds. I'm launching right now this year. I now recently was in two nursing homes. So it's kind of just on a wheel. So it's part of the government operations to shut me down. Because I published a number of very stringent exposés of World War III. Out of my own livelihood, I published the story of George Bush's speech to the West Coast in June 2nd, 1982. Not one writer in the United States has picked up on that story. So the New York Times covers it up, and only quoted a few sentences from his speech. They said, they quoted from Bush's speech in which he said, "We must take the battle to the enemy." Well, the next sentence was, "I intend to launch preemptive strikes against 60 or 80 nations around the world and the world of terrorism." So that talk was never reported to the American public, and most people here never heard of it, but some certainly don't believe it ever happened.
Heard of Francis Jockey or Elizabeth Tilling?
Well, I can't, and I have a full line of dog drivers coming out this year, and I will employ a lot of all these people. So it comes a true story of John McCarthy, which is one of my great heroes, and many other people who have been demonized by the American government. He's here for the Secretary. I'm on the committee for memorial for McCarthy. I speak maybe a Pennsylvania every year in Wisconsin and Springfield. And my secretary, his former secretary, came up to me a couple years ago when I was there, and she said, "Do you know who Eustace?" She said, "Joe was always a cooking man." And I said, "Oh, I knew that. From the time he started, and most generally in that I've lived my life. Eustace is a man that's portrayed in the press daily, even today, long after he's gone, as one of the sweetest human beings that ever lived in this country."
You know, I met his secretary. She came to a meeting I was speaking at in Arkansas once, and she came up to me and she said, "Pastor Peters, if we had known then what you and I know now, things would be entirely different."
Yes.
And then she was talking about the parasite, using my antichrist tissue.
Yeah, John didn't know anything about this thing. John was a type of boy from Wisconsin, a very brilliant man. But, he simply had never met anybody who knew about these things.
And when you are armed with knowledge that these people are demonic in nature, you think the country boy like Joe, who actually raised him at one time, he's no match for them, is he?
Well, when Joe went to Washington, he was an innocent, and he was taken over by three of those vicious people. In Washington, there was George Sikorsky, who was a lifelong colonist and an illegal immigrant to this country, who had been abducted by a William Randolph Hearst and made a political columnist. He was abducted by George Sikorsky, J. Edgar Hoover, who, you know, there was a destination. Nobody knew that he had abducted in Washington, but very few people knew it. And he was abducted by Father George Wallace, who was
he took over
completely. He watched his homeless every day. And here he was surrounded by these three people. And he was absolutely helpless in the hands of these people. They were very good people. And they were more proudly respected in Washington at that time.
And then his aide, Cohen, what's that his name?
Oh,
I forget his first name. Famous lawyer as well.
Oh, that's Roy Cohen.
Yeah, Roy Cohen.
Oh, Roy Cohen's father was the head of the ADL in New York State. And I was replaced from some of his staff by Roy Cohen and his boyfriend, James Stein.
You were replaced on the staff?
Yeah, Joe. They ordered Joe to come to me. You see, Joe was 23,000 business a day from the American people. He was a powerful politician in the United States at that time, and the Republican establishment was terrified of him, and his designers were constantly berating President Eisenhower for not denouncing Joe McCarthy publicly. But at that time, Joe had more political power than the president, and he didn't charge them. I say those are strange days, and I was in Washington in the middle of London. And they were strange days, but when I look back on it, I'm amazed at this country survived. There was so much pressure. I mean, Al Green was actually running this country for quite a few years. You know, he offered the United Nations, which is still the only government we have.
Do you think that is one of the reasons they took Nixon down the way he did, our Virginia Valley, from Al Green's
base? Yes. Well, you know, Richard Nixon was chosen as one of the three people who Eisenhower designated to get Joe McCarthy. One was Nixon, and one was Henry Cabot Lodge, who was a great fighter from Connecticut. And there were three of them, and those were the principal ones that offered the fight to get Joe McCarthy. And they were the ones that engineered the Senate future of Joe McCarthy. Not in Washington, he censored a Republican for being a good Republican. And the censure part, the censure of the paper man about Joe McCarthy claimed that you were talking against Democrats. That was a typical language of it from him. That's what he was fishing for.
Now, you think he murdered him?
There was a question about it. I have seen a death certificate from the NIH, National Institute of Health, and there's no question. Enormous dosage of hepatitis germs of fish introduced into the system, and it killed them within a couple of hours. That's on the death certificate. I used to have a copy of it. I don't think I have one now. It was the classic committee in the for Wisconsin has that. I actually had my copy. Yeah, that's the difference on that.
They murdered Anthony Yockey as well, I say they also murdered Francis Yockey.
Oh, yeah, he was murdered in prison. He was picked up on a false passport charge and held in Washington's jail, and he died very suddenly there.
Well, why was he such a threat? Just because he was an intellectual and...
He was an intellectual leader. You see, they know the intellectual leaders, people like Ezra Pound, and Joseph Kennedy, turn the country around overnight. And they have to get rid of them. So murderers are chosen, these are the dream.
What inspired you to write the book, Murder by Intention? Because you don't know that your preferred weapon in your arsenal is actually poison.
Oh, yeah. Well, all the vaccines, are made with a mercury that's what's causing all the called Downing syndrome and all the problem children. Sudden death syndrome, they die quickly, too much of the pain, and it also causes Alzheimer's.
You know, there's a scripture that says that Jesus said his disciples to eat poison and live. And I know that's true. That doesn't mean poison isn't going to affect them. I'm just curious. Do you think they'll ever find the poison you?
Oh, yes. That's what I've learned. I have to be very careful when I travel. I never reveal my travel plans to anyone. I had a friend, Vince Williams, a good speaker, who had told the airlines that he had to have a special diet on when he traveled on a plane. So he takes a special diet. And I was killing him. Never ask any special food because it's an effort for them.
The average person listening, they have a hard time believing that. And one thing I found is that if you know you've been poisoned, you just don't keep it to yourself because people think you're crazy as I tell them.
Well, he's probably a schizophrenic paranoid, if you say you're poisoned.
Right.
There was a customer issue. Who was in the government relatives in order to get their money. And whenever an elderly person found being poisoned, they were put in the mental institution because they knew that was a sure sign of insanity. It is protected you were being poisoned.
So, how long did it take you to research the murder by injection book?
It took me 3 years. I think I did it for a challenge because I did a researcher in Washington who had his own Capitol News Service, which exposed the medical situation, and two other books called The Drug Test, in which he said that all that he took firms in the United States were controlled by the Rockefellers. And I thought that is a very extreme statement, and I went to the library and looked it up and showed up that were all these kingdoms were controlled by the Rockefellers. Every one of them has been on the board, directors, from Fed et al. And from Chase and FMAC and other Rockefeller enterprises who took control. And I got so much material in doing this research. That's what I do at IAM Portland. I'm not very well researched for three editions, and I'll have to get another edition out pretty soon.
Let's take a break here, and I'm going to let the audience know how they use that book. And we'll come back to Friday with you.
Murder by by injection, the remarkable book by Eustace Mullen tells the true story of a medical conspiracy against America. In this clear, carefully documented volume, you will discover, for example, how the notorious father of billionaire John D. Rockefeller Sr. got his start by peddling colored bottles of Pennsylvania Petroleum, billing himself as William Rockefeller, the celebrated cancer specialist. How ironic that his descendants would amass huge fortunes by peddling petroleum derivatives like gasoline and fuel oil, products known to cause cancer, all the while being a controlling power behind the most famous cancer treatment center in the world. Murder by Injection is available for a $15 offering from Scriptures for America, Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535.
Is Eustace Mullen's author of that book, and as he said, did you see 15 other books, Eustace?
15 other books, I'm getting a 6-week print and 4 new books back this year. Well, I came out of the nursing home, it has to be a wonderful event for me, and after 3 months of this, I came out of the loaded for mayor, and I've been going back down to the center.
Well, I think you probably
do the rest of the year, just getting caught up.
I think you're going to continue to do great things, because I'm going to ask our audience out here to put you on their personal prayer list and put your prayer about how it would hurt you. Would you agree?
No, indeed. I think people are praying to help me get out of the nursing home.
I do too. I think that's why you're out.
I think so, because they thought that I was going to get out. I was never going to get out. And really, as much as they said, which I was put in, they said, there's no way I can get out.
Well, then, what book that changed my life along the way, and several of them, is the one by Elizabeth Dillon, Fighting Against Christianity. And I assume you knew Elizabeth Dillon.
I knew Elizabeth and her son, Fred Dillon. He still lives in Chicago. She's retired now. She's a very well-known lawyer, and he's defended many vitamin sellers and people like that. Drug remedies who were unfairly arrested and abused by the Rockefeller Institute through the FDA, the Federal Food and Drug Administration.
What was Elizabeth doing?
She was a dynamo. She was one of the most active persons I ever met in my life, and she had been calling great guns for years. She was one of the central figures that was keeping the United States in World War II. She and Rose Manhattan worked together in Chicago. I got to know them both very well when I moved to Chicago in 1955. And there was some big guns on the chain. And Elizabeth was a special friend of Henry Ford. And Henry Ford used to give her $5,000 a week towards her work.
Really?
I used to order work. Anyway, Henry Ford was one of the great Christians, thank you. And he was three times out. I've never met him myself. And tell him that's how I got to Chicago. But this man was totally dedicated to America and Christ. And his book, The National Jew, has been expunged from every library in the United States, including the Henry Ford Museum in Detroit, Michigan, outside of Detroit. But I had a friend who lived in Detroit, he went to the museum, and he asked the librarian there, he said, I'm very interested in reading a book, Henry Ford's book called The International Jew. And she looked in the pile and said, I'm afraid that it's not in the collection whatsoever. And this is the famous book.
Yes, now I understand that every model A that he put, or model B, I guess it was, that he put out, had one of those in the front seat.
Oh, yes.
Can you imagine how many hundreds and hundreds of thousands there were in front seat?
He's a super known book to every library in the United States. Three.
And then you can't find one.
No, you can't find any library. There's still a couple of big guys on the show. The photo shoot is called Printing from 2003. There's no library in the United States that has a book in itself.
And of course, they have since appear that he was crazy, you know.
Well, he's been trying to kill him. They tried to run him off the road right near his home. He's having a late night. And the two cars came up and tried to push him off the road. the question of history was there.
You know, you've lived the history that I read about, and I'm curious about the entire history of Charles Lindbergh and his child that he killed. Of course, he killed him, and he is just like somebody else. He is a very person causing accidents and making people like accidents when it's actually murder. Would you not agree?
Oh, absolutely. This was actual murder.
Did you ever talk to the, I doubt if you did, but to the Walter Dane that was executed for that murder?
No, I never. I read about it for years, and I read about it, and I asked him to do it, which was a story about him. And the judicial murder of this man was one of the horrible things that I've ever seen. They manufactured all the evidence in this film, and the chief culprit was, a Jewish attorney general of the state of New Jersey, who was an agent on operation, and the head of the priest was named Commander Schwarzkopf, and his son was the general who led the storm forces in Iraq and then the Desert War. And so the question about where he came out, they resigned from the army and then started another day.
Well, it wasn't a brave man, often. He had a choice. He could have spared his life if he would have, but he would have done it.
Well, I think he wanted that. He wanted to crumble. He wanted to be a man couple and things like that. But many people are in American prisons today because they refuse to take a way of sentence if they admit to the crime. And so that's a term like.
What else would you like to tell my audience that you observed over the years? How many years now? 60?
60? No, I became the coach of not only Mr. Joe McCarthy, but of Anthony Brown, but also as a great teacher who is an unsung hero in the United States, and that is the All Man, a protector of H.R. Hunt.
Oh, you do
so? We've been home for it, and we're the book to get. And H.L. Hunt was one of the most brave men I've ever seen in my life. One of the most brave men. And his son, Booker Hunt, I was talking to him not long ago. And he said, you're right. He said, my father was one of the most brave men in the country. And he received a first for it. He was treated as a first before in a country, in the United States. And they published a story about him once in 1955 that he had an income of $2 million a week. And I said that was absolutely nonsense, and he's always been talking about it, because the income at that time was $10 million a week.
Well, he did his fair share of trying to save America, didn't he?
He really did. He did a lot. And he had tremendous opposition from the Rockefellers. You see, he said that he was an oil producer, a wildcatter who struck oil, did not have any refineries of his own, and of course the Rockefellers controlled all the refineries in the United States, so he had to sell his oil to the Rockefellers, so they exercised some pressure on him through that. They were able to do a lot.
He almost cornered the supermarket in the latter 70s.
That was the Tucson Blocker Network that had.
Was that right? Well, they absolutely changed the rules on the middle of the street, didn't they?
They did indeed. They wanted the Control Commission changed the rules right in the street. And the chief of comfort was a Chinese girl who was married to Senator Carol Graham of Texas. And she changed the rules. But she didn't know the orders, of course. That was one of the deals. They took everything that Bunker and Herbert can.
Amazing. You know men like McCarthy and Mr. Hunt and Ezra Pound, and you knew Francis Yockey and Elizabeth Tilling.
Well, I know many other people. I've done a lot on all that modern activity. And I was glad for these people. It was a question of these people for that purpose. Because I know particular factors that would cause them to come to my confidence in them. But every one of them just causes as medical as anybody you've ever eaten. And it's meant to be completely.
What do you think is the most important books you've written.
I guess the secrets are the better of that, because the money system is the basis of a whole conspiracy. And if you do everything with the money, you see, I exposed in the book, which Edward Hanson made to write in 1948, and the whole purpose of this was to have an elastic currency, by which they could depreciate the morale of the American people through elastic money. But that's what we did in 1913. And they bought the past in 1913, and the crystal success in Washington, D.C. would look to Thompson's model for the cryptology. So it was a...
Yeah, what was the problem at this time, Joe?
Woodrow Wilson, he's born right here in the city, is a very city, but he lost where to be.
Now, now we need to clean the lines of that story. I didn't think he had something over his head.
We were blackmailing him because he had a very dissolute personal life, he had a number of amours, and he had no control of him.
That's what I got. Yeah, that was back in the days that was absolutely unheard of.
Oh, yeah. You couldn't get away with something like that to his wife. And he was very comfortable before he had, he had talked, he had his love letters, which were about Bernard Baruch, for his own son of money, and he's having a control of him.
So he has to be in a jail. I had heard that he really suffered a severe guilty conscience for signing the Federal Reserve Bill.
Yes, he did. I think God of a stroke, you know. He came out with a stroke after the scientific conference. That's where they really changed the whole world. All the trouble in the Middle East happened at the scientific conference in Paris in 1919. We both come to Arab countries and these tiny little countries. So they said this is the goal of the Turkish Empire for 300 years. And they were broken up deliberately into these tiny countries, all of which they trained to fight each other. The Arabs never worked together whatsoever. And then they discovered oil, and the auto fuel became the market for gasoline in the United States. And that's what the Middle East has all on ever since.
So, secrets of the Federal Reserve, what's your next book?
Well, I think because we came in the demonology of history, I think that the American people really should know about demonology. And after years of research, unearthing very arcane programs of population of demons in this country.
Would you like to share some of that with the audience?
I found the curse of Canaan. It's the Canaanites are the precursors of modern Zionists. And they want the curse from God. Curse to Canaan is Genesis 9, 11. Curse to Canaan. And he shall be a slave of his brothers, Jeff and Shem. Of course, we're descended from the from Shem, we're the genetic people. And in fact, Samuel Adams, one of the founders of the United States, said, "We have come to this country to found the new Israel." So America was destined by God to be the new Israel of the entire world. That's why they made some terrific efforts to control the United States, because this is the leader of the world. And now they're converting it, and they're giving us the impact to every country in the world.
And they themselves are, they seem to get power, even wealth from demons. Would you not agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Well, in fact, the whole federal government system is capitalistic. It's about the creation of money from nothing. So all these laws create things from nothing. And all of our money is created from nothing, which is a capitalistic conspiracy. Money used to be based on gold, but the elastic currency that Paul Warburg got through the Congress in 1913 is based on the creation of money for money. Paper from paper, that's why I'm selling money the way it is.
You made mention 2 years ago that elastic currency was tied to deteriorating morality. Would you want to elaborate on that?
Yes, well, depreciation of currency is the greatest reserve towards immorality in the world. So people lose faith in the currency, they lose faith in morals and in good character and in good behavior. Because it seems like it doesn't matter anymore. And that's what happened when they depreciated the currency, the money, being around gold standard for many years. And so we have absolute morality in the United States. But it's still going to affect the currency. Homosexuality, AIDS, all these things came with the currency.
Yeah.
The privacy always comes from tampering with the currency.
Do you think these people know that you're from the Canaanites?
Oh, yes. That's why you have to call here in Grove in California. And you have to take all of these conspiratorial groups, the Skull and Bones, and Yale University, which the Bush family is one of the leading groups. And they're absolutely controlled by satanic rituals.
The Windsor family, I'm told, is actually a made-up name, and you heard the German Jew banker, Max Kohberg?
Oh, yes, and Windsor, their name was Lindbergh, and they had to change their name to World War I because it was not in Germany, and they couldn't have the royal family of England having a German name, so they changed it overnight from Lindbergh to Windsor.
Anyway, the understanding in Christianity is related to them.
Oh, yes, they're related to their second cousin. And the Windsor family, the Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth, is very close to Jackson, who acts with all people. And those same people have complete control of which is fortune, the one of a divine trust. So both former President Bush and the present President Bush have their money controlled by this fellow in Taylor, the oil company, who's actually the boss of the Bush family. And this man is the only person that Queen Elizabeth placed in his home when she comes to the United States. She's the most desirable escort that anyone can have in this country. This is only one
family,
and that's the family in Texas.
Do you know how much research used this into the subject of the reptilian nature of these people?
What?
The reptilian nature?
Oh, yeah, that's a reptilian factor in that. That's part of demonology. There is a reptilian factor.
Would you like to talk about that, too?
Yes, now there are. Some researchers that say that these families, such as the Bushes and the Queen Elizabeth and so forth, they're actually shapeshifters. They tend to be having shapes sometimes.
I've heard that. Do you think there's any validity to that?
I don't know from my own personal fellowship. I don't have any evidence of it or any pictures or any actual witnesses that saw this happen. But it's plausible. Because it's different for the world that we have now.
I'm going to open up the phone lines if that's all right with you.
Yes, indeed. Any questions? I'll answer them if I can.
307-745-5913 is the phone number if you want to call tonight. We have a very distinguished guest, Eustace Mullins. And the phone's already ringing, so we'll take the calls. Team, this is Pastor Peter. Come here.
First of all, I'd like to say that Eustace Mullins is one of the greatest patriots that America has ever produced. He's one of the best writers that I have ever read, and I've read several of his books. And his books are so hard to find, especially the internet, so they're becoming easier to find. But I just want Eustace to know that to hear that he is out of the nursing home is almost like hearing a Christ is being resurrected from the grave. I mean, it's just, I'm so glad to hear that.
Well, he was obviously resurrected. Well, a friend of mine the other day in Canada called me out and said, my career is just beginning.
Well, that's good. I am so glad to hear that. What you're talking about, I haven't heard of this Francis Yockey. I would like to, someday maybe try to get one of your books that you mentioned in, or maybe an article or something.
Well, I'm going to try to mention him on his biography because he's very well known and very brilliant. He's a genius.
Okay.
He's really forgotten his name.
Yes, well, I'll tell you what, I know several people are probably trying to call in and pitch a proposal to talk to you, and I am so pleased that you, had you on tonight, but I would disagree with you on your desperate, though. I think the biological Jew is probably the greatest liberal
revelation to the people of the United States that they were just Jesus or not. They didn't even know he could.
Well, they were given an understanding of what's going on in Washington.
It was one of the most influential books I've ever read in my life. I mean, just completely, you know, when you read it, you just know you're reading the truth. It's one of those things that, you know, it just comes right off the page and the pages to you. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Pete.
And 307-745-5913 is the number if you want to call tonight. Is Pat Peters on here?
Hello. My name is Richard from Michigan. And I wanted to ask you about that. I haven't had any of his books, but I have a few of his previous case on different subject matters. But my question was, biological Jews, there's scientific evidence that says that the Jews that are in Palestine, Israel, they're a different offshoot or
well, let him answer that, okay?
Okay.
Well, there's scholarly proof of that, and author Kessler's book of 13 Tribes. At the time of the present inhabitants of the state of Israel, these are Jews, which are totally different from the typical Hebrew Jews, the ones that are historical inhabitants of Jerusalem. And the Khazar are Johnny Comedians, who are a Turco Edomite Canaanite people. And, they were ancient, Romans and killers, as a matter of fact. Hebrew, it's, people who are, the, robbers of that time.
So, is this Chris Harlow? Is he on here?
Howdy, evil Canada. I just wanted to know, Mr. Mullins there was saying he'd met a lot of folks on the way back. I was wondering if he ever met or talked to Father Coughlin.
No, I didn't have been in the shrine of the little flower. It's like a very holy place, and it's a wonderful place. It's available for visitors today if you go and enjoy it. And I never met him, but I saw many copies of his paper. Social justice that was widely circulated in the United States. It was the only paper that exposed Roosevelt in the views of this country.
Yeah, he was for a little while, wasn't he a consultant to Roosevelt? And then he basically told him he was crazy and he backed off. And
well, in my studio, it was a representative of the Pope of Rome. And was personally advisor to Roosevelt. I got rid of Father Coughlin. He went directly to the Vatican in Rome and took the Pope to issue an edict against Coughlin. And he had to give up his radio program and his newspaper.
Yeah, he was up to the emperor was there too in the States.
Yeah, the whole thing. They just completely out on him. But he was such a great man and a great Christian.
Yeah.
I was privileged to know him. He was also one of my friends.
We'll let you have a call. Thanks for calling. Thank you. 307-745-5913 is the number. Of course, our guest is Eustace Lewis. The questions we asked tonight, appreciate the phone calls. Well, we're waiting for the next one to come in. I'm going to ask a question. Hello, this is Pat Peters. You're on the air.
Eustace Lewis, if you look on the internet, there's a Solomon Bush. He's a high-ranking Jewish officer in the American Revolution.
Oh,
and there's a big fight on him on the internet, Solomon Bush. Apparently, there was also a major George Bush Jew in the American Revolution. We know that that doesn't seem Bush came out today.
I think it is because I've been on the mission of the churches for 4 years before 1900, and I know it in history.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you for calling. Did you know J.L. Easton?
Oh, yes. He was considered to be the finest archer of his age.
This is Pat Peters. You're on the air.
Pat Peters?
Yes.
I don't know about Eustace Mullins. Or anybody who got slaves to America. Have you done any research on that? Do you know anything about that issue?
Oh, that makes sense.
There are a number of books about that, which are very competitive. And in fact, if you look in the Encyclopedia of Japan,
the official of your ship encyclopedia, which went 5 pages, 200 pages on every country. And they, it was pretty amazing that they were totally typical of the same thing.
Is that you, John, here?
Yeah, hi. This is Frank from Arkansas. And I'd like to ask Mr. Mullins if he's done any research into the likelihood of Jews running child sacrifice rings and pedophilia rings connected with the American government. And I was wondering if he had done any research on that stuff.
I don't know about all the history of the Jews. Just as a matter of fact, I mean, I've heard the whole time from that very subject. Quoting explicitly from the Bible, which basically denounces them for their ritual murder practices.
And by the way, the last call, I accidentally touched the button and cut it off a little prematurely. I do apologize for that. I'm not trying to cut anybody off short, but I have a feeling there's a lot of calls wanting to come in. I was wanting to call with him. Good evening, it's Cass Peters on here.
Can you please give the name of Francis Jackie, and can you tell me the text and purpose? Thank you very much.
Right, I can tell you too that the book that you should get of his is Imperium.
Yeah, so a lot of scholars of other tests are done at the Russian Greek Press in Washington, D.C.
And Jockey is spelled Y-O-C-K-E-Y, is it not?
Yeah, that's correct. Francis F-R-A-N-C-I-N.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was very, very solid, man.
Yeah, Imperium is the book you want to read.
Yeah, it's a very impressive book. It's been a good consideration since he was murdered.
I certainly appreciate you being our guest tonight. It's been a real honor to have you.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to send our information because, of course, the people need some attention, right? That's the one thing I'm saying to them. They can find out what's going on. And we have the most corrupt France and the most corrupt courts in the world. And a lot of countries will probably claim that, too, but I think we have exceeded them all.
Along this line, you addressed so rapidly the issue of Freemasonry. I think you saw some of its influence in this country, but maybe I'm wrong. But it certainly has an effect in these courts. Would you not agree?
Well, Freemasonry is absolutely. The judges and the lawyers are all manufactured members of Freemasonry. We have a lodge here in Trenton, Virginia, where I'm teaching from, called Lodge Number 13. It was formed in 1787 before the Constitution was adopted. And Thomas Jefferson said that your judiciary is the most dangerous influence in America. And you know, Thomas Jefferson was never given his own day. His birthday was April 13th last week. And Thomas Jefferson has never had a President's Day or a birthday observance in the United States.
I think we're taking one more call tonight. Hello, this is
Cass
Peters. John here.
Yes, I wanted to find out if this program that's going to be made available to us.
Well, certainly, many of our radio programs are available. You can let us know if you want them.
Okay. I just wanted to make certain because I didn't quite get all the reception here. I know she's just gone from there. There was kind of a copy in your mouth.
Bad reception.
Okay. I'm just showing them overhead.
Well, you just write a request. This evening's, this evening, and this evening's podcast.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, we have a lot of interference right here tonight.
Do you
know the song going on around us, all around us?
Do you know anything about Lafayette, who was right hand man of George Washington?
Well, there's some stories that he was a Mason himself and various things, but I don't know that. I'm not sure it's true. He's very highly respected here in Virginia, because he was a frequent visitor to Russia and Vernon, and Jefferson Jefferson at they call Monticello, and he's highly thought of in Virginia here.
I think just one more call. I think you got enough time for this one. Hello, this is Pastor Peter, John here.
I find it interesting. I've always been heard that Freemasonry is behind the world evils, but when I was studying a little bit, I found a man named Moses Freebrook, who was the mentor for Mr. Simon Freemasonry, by Charles G. Finney. I thought it was pretty interesting.
Where is that? Moses Holbrook?
Yes, sir.
I'll ask you if if our guest has heard of him.
Okay. That's it.
You heard of Moses Holbrook?
Well, I have a book about this called The Curse of Salem. I had a complete history of two nights tonight. I'm sure his name is in there.
Okay. Well, Eustace, I'd like to have you back sometime in the future, if that would be all right.
Oh, yeah, that would be fine. I'll be here all summer, and you can reach me here. I'll be glad to talk to you people again.
Thank you very much for talking to us tonight.
Yes, please.
And I'm going to ask my people to keep you on their prayers.
All right.
Their prayers.
Thank you very much.
Good night, sir.
Good night.
Well, what an honor to have Eustace Mullen called as a guest tonight, and I would hope that many of you fine Christian people out there that really do pray and believe in prayer could hold this man up in prayer. You heard him say that as far as he's concerned, it's only prayer that got him out of what you called a nursing home, where they intend to keep him there for life. I can't agree with you tomorrow night. Keep us in your prayers. We pray for you, those of you that are his, being the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you, and be gracious to you, and let his countenance upon you have your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
You have been listening to